Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
I've been looking forward to today for many months, since the moment I heard this was going to happen, and that's because one of my best friends in the world is here, and I had the privilege about 11 years ago, we were living in Sydney, we were asked to move to Brisbane to serve this couple. Their names are Steve and Joyce Dixon. They're pastors in Queensland. He's actually an Englishman. He's from Manchester. Before being in Australia, they pioneered churches in Spain, built many churches in Spain, and they were in a church in Brisbane, which became Hillsong Brisbane. Under their leadership, this church exploded to many thousands of people. As well as that, they planted, I think now, 9 other churches around Queensland and Bali. I mean, why wouldn't you plant a church in Bali? All right, so Steve and Joyce are absolutely incredible leaders, but even better people. They are the real deal. I trust this guy. He's one of the guys I go to if I need some wisdom, some advice. Absolutely love him. You are going to love him too. So we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to give Pastor Steve and Joyce Dixon a fantastic Soul Church welcome. So come on, let's welcome them.
Wow, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. We have been discussing, talking, dreaming about, praying for Norwich for a long time and finally got here. I've actually been here twice before. One was when Norwich played Inter Milan, which is probably, would that be the biggest success in Norwich's football? And I was here, all right? And the other one was when Manchester United stuffed them 3-0, but we won't mention that one. We'll just move on very quickly from that. Obviously, with Steve and Rach being here, we're such good friends over a decade now, to be here and to see them. In fact, just to stand on the front row together is actually a bit of fun, because we've done this about 10,000 times, usually in Australia, and to be here with them. Melody, you do realize, is a Brisbane, Hillsong Brisbane worship leader, and I'm her agent. So she's going to be leading tonight. It's going to cost you a fortune, but it's going to be good. So we're delighted to see them. John and Chantal, I don't know if they're going to be able to watch. They're on a beach in Barbados, evidently, I think, something like that. Is that what I was told? No, it wasn't. I'm actually serving Jesus somewhere. I think it's in America at a conference. But John and Chantal, you have got great pastors and great leaders. And I mean that. I wouldn't say that everywhere I go unless I really meant that, because we don't say light words when you have a microphone in a church. John and Chantel are great leaders. You are blessed, and your future is safe and secure with leaders that are going to keep stretching you and moving things forward. I just had a quick glimpse there. I said, oh, Trevor here. Trevor and Joyce, obviously we've seen them in Australia nearly every year, coming to see Rachel over there. And lovely to see you, Trevor, Joyce. Lovely. Hope for a good hug in a few moments of time. Well, this is a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be in Norwich. I don't just mean on Sunday, I mean this season of life. There is something already happening in this city, and I believe I've got a word from the Lord for you for this year. Otherwise, I wouldn't grab a microphone just to preach any old message. This is something that I believe I want to really get into your spirit and get into your heart, and we can see God do something great. Lord, I pray right now that even across the airwaves right now, and as people in other parts of the world or this nation, and especially for this room here in Norwich, I pray, God, that your word would secure something in our spirit. It would bed into our spirit, that we can build this year upon it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Why don't we give it up for the worship team? You did great. Don't go far. So welcome to the online community, wherever you may be. And to everyone here, Soul Church, this is going to be a good day in the house. All right. I love cities. Joyce and I You know, if we're going to go on a holiday, we live in Australia, so I don't need to go to a beach anywhere overseas, because Australia probably has among the best beaches in the world. But we love going to cities. We love walking cities. We love seeing the history and the buildings. But the main reason why we love cities is because it's full of people. I just love being around people, lots of people, and seeing what goes on. You know, I think it's absolutely true to say that God loves cities for this obvious reason, that they are full of people. Jesus laid his life down, not for buildings, not for church buildings, not for edifices, not for icons. He shed his blood for people. He loves people, and cities have a lot of them. In Jerusalem, which we could designate as the first New Testament church in that city, so many amazing things happened in that place. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave the city. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. Verse 8, you'll receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in that city, in Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Day of Pentecost happened in that city. 120 people filled with the Holy Spirit revolutionized not only 120 lives, but revolutionized a city, and then from a city even further. In that city, Stephen was martyred. Believers began to be persecuted and ended up being scattered out of the city and from that city to other places. History tells us, the Bible tells us, that the apostles remained in the city in Jerusalem, but the believers were the ones that were scattered around. They established communities of Jesus believers without really having a strategy. They didn't plan to do this. And here is the story of what I've just said. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 26. Am I speaking too fast? I've got a Manchester accent, so I'm just going to make sure that you're still with me as we go. All right, on the online community? All good, fantastic. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out in Jerusalem, in that city, when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. How ironic that the first New Testament church seemingly was only for Jews. Seemingly. And then at a later date, the Gentiles get included. And here we are in the 21st century. We've just been to Israel this past year. And seemingly it's the other way around, that now the church seems to be a Gentile church with a very small contingent of Jewish believers. But we began in Jerusalem by spreading the word among Jews only. Some of them, verse 20, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene who went to Antioch began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them. That's really important. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, so the second city we're talking about. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The title of this message, these few thoughts, is Norwich City 2020. Not on the ball city, Norwich City, but Norwich the City 2020. A message specifically for you guys. I'm sure you're aware of this if you've been any time living in Norwich, that Norwich has been granted historic city status. Within the United Kingdom, it is an important part of the history and the fabric of the UK. Between the Middle Ages up until the Industrial Revolution, only London was bigger than Norwich. Norwich was the second largest city in this whole nation. Fast forward to today, and you'll find, according to the census 2011, across, let's say, Greater Norwich, there's 213,000 people in the urban area, 132 or 133,000 now within the city of Norwich. That's why Jesus loves Norwich. That's why Jesus loves a city, because you've got 133,000 people just within short driving distance of where we are located right here, right now. And the Lord has seen fit to sow you here. that straight away should give us not only a sense of responsibility, but a great sense of excitement and adventure. Because if Jesus is willing to shed his blood for people, and there are so many of them around our streets here right now, this is a place that he has his eye upon because of the number of people who are yet to come to know him. So let's celebrate the past. But history and being designated an important city back in history is one thing. But it tells me that if God chose to put a place together and a community that historically had value, then there has got to be something within his heart that always does more and better than it's ever gone before. And so his eye of history is not a backward past tense history, but imagine what God can do in a city like Norwich with 133,000 people when he designates that he loves people and he gives his life for them and he's brought a church right in the middle of it and says, come on, we can do something that writes some new pages of history. Let me give you three characteristics that I believe will distinguish Soul Church or characterize Soul Church in 2020. And if you're watching online, then apply some of these principles to yourself, because these principles I'm drawing straight out of what we've just read. The first characteristic that I really believe will distinguish this church, that by the end of December people will say these sorts of things, that firstly, that ordinary people built the church. Ordinary people do extraordinary things because we have an extraordinary God. But read those verses again from Acts 11 and you'll find that the apostles were still in Jerusalem. It was the believers that were scattered. They went to various places, and one of them is the second city that we're looking at today called Antioch. And the church community was built not by the apostles, the professionals, the people with a microphone on a platform, but was built by the ordinary people who were scattered out of Jerusalem. And Soul Church Norwich, you must never expect that somebody with a microphone builds the church so that you can you can spectate and enjoy all that comes. This platform has got talent and gift. I've only seen the photographs of wonder. But man, that was pretty good. You've got to say, there is some gift and some talent that stands on this platform. But the Lord says to you this morning that it is not a platform that will build the church alone. It is the people of God, the ordinary Johns and Marys, who are the ones that will build this church. None of us are so great. Nobody has the ability and the capacity to do it all. Nobody in this church team or staff or membership is omnipotent. All power. Nobody's omniscient, not even the mothers. You think sometimes a mum's got her eyes everywhere, front of her head, back of her head, but none of us know everything and see everything, can do everything everywhere. We don't have to rely on any human being to do those things. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. Jesus Christ builds his church, but his church is made up of tens of thousands and tens of thousands more ordinary people like you and myself. And together, I reckon here in Norwich, you can see something quite remarkable as new pages of history get written by ordinary people. By ordinary, I only mean as human as everybody else, not disparagingly. It just needs a human being, and it needs a group, a community of human beings that say, we can do this. We're part of writing history. Look at them. Verse 19, nobody's even named, and yet they established church in Antioch. And many other places. He said in verse 19, those who had been scattered. Nobody was even worthy of a mention. Why? Because there were just so many of them. Just normal people doing their thing. He says in verse 20, some of them didn't even get a mention of a name. There's no star there. There's no apostle there. There's no preacher there. There's no platform there. But these people, these unnamed nobodies, like you and I are the ones that God can use in an ordinary, in an extraordinary way. The beautiful thing is that the people who were scattered, they went to Phoenicia, which is coastal Lebanon, Cyprus, little island off Greece, Antioch, which was in Syria, ordinary men, ordinary young women, young people planting a church without a strategy. See, that just doesn't fit with 21st century methods. See, I can teach on strategies of church planting. I've got some great messages. I've got some great ideas. We have between us. We can all that type of thing. And then I open Acts chapter 11 and I say it wasn't down to any strategy. It wasn't down to how smart the leaders were. It wasn't down to how great the preaching was. It wasn't down to how great the creative team was. They were just human beings that said, you know what, God? I want to be part of writing history in my city. If you have placed me here, you've placed me here for a reason. If you're here newly arrived to Norwich, you're blessed. If you just joined the church in the last few weeks, maybe you came over Christmas time and you think, man, this is pretty good. I'm going to check this place out and keep checking this place out. Because something is happening in Norwich, something is happening in this church that if you're smart, you will want yourself and your family to be an intricate part of. This is a place to bring up your kids. It's a place to bring up your young people. It's a place for marriages to be blessed and taught. It's a place for an adult to get their thinking right and their behaviors in line, because God is building his church right here in Norwich City, 2020. Matthew 13 tells us that there's two parables about the seed. The first one, everybody probably knows more than the other one. Parable of the sower is the first one, where the seed is the word of God, remember? And it gets planted in different types of soil. But the second parable in the same chapter tells us that the Lord doesn't only plant his word, but he plants his people. It says in verse 38 of Matthew 13, the field is the world and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. He sows people, people of the kingdom. He places somebody here. He may need to move them over here, but he will plant them there. And if God has planted somebody in a place, you may as well root yourself into that place. You may as well root yourself into that church and be such a part of the fabric of it that you become one of the builders of the church, not one of the spectators of the church. One of the things we've got wrong in the United Kingdom, and I'm an Englishman saying these words, we've built congregational buildings for 200 people. There are multiple thousands of them of every type of denomination, because the vision, the understanding way back then was if we could just house a few of our families, if we could just look after the Christians and the believers. But the thinking is so small, it is painful. It actually probably hurts the heart of God when he sees a church that could do so much in a city but has chosen to house itself in something that is like, you would never hold a conference in a telephone booth, would you? But we're almost saying to God, we need you to house your church in just a small room. One of the most exciting things is when I find out of a church that is expanding from where it is into somewhere large, and I understand it's exactly the journey that you are on. Because straight away, it gives God a message. It says to God, we cannot contain what you want to do by faith by staying in a place where we have already experienced this place. There has to be experiences that are wider and broader and more expansive. And so we will take the steps of faith. We will work out how to get the money. We'll run wherever we've got to run and walk wherever we've got to walk and do whatever we've got to do, because we want to provide a house where you could have multiple thousands of people. Imagine Norwich City at the end of 2020 if you had doubled in size. Imagine if you were in your own home now with a chance to really keep on growing and expanding. It not only gives a message to God that you have faith for growth, it gives a message to Norwich, the city, that you are here to stay and serious about the church being strong and influential. And God has sown you here, ordinary people who can build this church. What makes it flourish? Firstly, ordinary people in the hands of a God who can do extraordinary things through us. Online community, wherever you are, my friend, don't just spectate church. Don't just watch here online once and believe that that's enough of an input for you. Build church wherever you are. Build community wherever you are. Get hold of not only the word of God, but the people of God, and find a place that you can cause and call home. The second thing is this. I believe that Soul Church here in Norwich will be categorized by this: an increased spreading of the good news about Jesus. I told you it wasn't a slick message. I didn't try and get all the letters to fit together and all the rest of it. I'm just telling you what I believe God says. That you will find by the end of this year that there will be an increased spreading of the good news about Jesus. This is what it says in verse 19, spreading the word only among Jews. Verse 20, some of them, however, we read it before, men from Cyprus, Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. There's three verbs there, spreading, telling, speaking. In other words is more than one way of communicating the good news of the gospel. And these guys, not the word was not proclamation as in preaching, it was speaking. It was the ordinary believers in Antioch now that couldn't help themselves, because their experience of Jerusalem was that their life had been turned upside down. They were now in Antioch, but their experience had been in Jerusalem. They were in the city where all of those amazing things happened, of Jesus' death and burial, of seeing healings, of seeing crippled beggars that they'd walked past the street so many times being healed. They knew all the stories of the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They were there when Peter stood up and preached, and thousands of them said yes to Jesus, yes to following him on one day. They had the stories of another day when Peter again proclaims good news and explains how this whole thing of faith works together, and multiple thousands again were added. They'd gone from being probably Jewish background, either completely committed, austere, religiously compliant Jews, or kind of fringy Jews. But either way, those that had become part of the way, the Christian faith, the followers of Jesus, they'd gone to a community of nothing into multiple thousands. Commentators would say within the first year to 3 years, there were at least 25 to 30,000 members in their church. So you think you're big yet, do you? We're just growing up. We're just making space to keep on growing. But they had all of these stories and experiences and remembrances. And now they're in Antioch. And there's no apostles. And there's no preachers. And there's no Peter to get up and open the Old Testament and use it to explain the New Testament. There's nobody there. It's like, what are we going to do? We've just got to be who we are. We'll tell people about everything we know. We'll tell people about our experiences. We'll tell people about the church that was zero, that went to thousands of people. We've told those stories because we have been part of those stories. We'll tell people about the healings. We'll tell people about the crippled beggar that was healed. We'll tell people about the changed lives. We'll tell people about the hope. We'll tell people about the understanding and the faith that we got. We'll tell people about broken marriages that were healed. We'll tell people about life that was given. We'll tell people about broken people who were not only put together, but were given a brand new start in life. And so they spread that news. They spread the good news. I love good news. To call the gospel good news is almost undervaluing. Because if you said the great news, you think that's a little bit more like it. We should probably call it the best news. Why? Because good news is when somebody comes in a prayer time with a praise report and said, you remember we've been praying about my daughter who contracted cancer, and we've been praying for 3 months. I want to show you this report. Showing a clean bill of health. Now that's an amazing report. That makes everybody happy. It makes everybody happy when we've prayed for a family that have been told that they're barren, that there's no opportunity or chance for the giving life of a birth of a child. And it's great news when somebody comes and said, we're pregnant. They said it was impossible, but it's great. It's good news. The amazing thing about the gospel, which is translated good news, it is better than all of those put together. Why? Because it doesn't heal a sick body that is still going to die within 100 years. It doesn't change something that lasts for one lifetime. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is so good that it changes everything from the inside out of a human being, and it lasts for the whole of eternity. It is the best news. So we need to not only be ordinary people, but ordinary people that get the word out. Ordinary people that spread the word. Who's going to do this in Norwich? Because if the only time the word is spoken about is inside a church service, people have got to do a lot of waiting. They've got to wait until the next service is put on. And they don't even know what a church looks like. They don't know what you do in here. They don't know how good it is. They don't know the music's kind of 21st century. They don't know that John and people like him are great preachers. They don't know about the worship team. They don't know about the love that you have for one. They don't know any of those things. So if you're going to wait and they have to wait to come to a church service, you're going to miss out thousands of people. But you are in those people's lives every single day of the week. The spreading and the telling and the talking and the speaking is to be done beyond the walls of the church. So you'll be characterized by ordinary people doing good things, but you'll be characterized by being a good news church. This will be the church where people know, man, you go there, you should hear the things they talk about. You know, one of the most exciting part of your church services is increasingly going to be the praise reports. When you hear what God is doing 7 days a week. When you hear the results of the prayers of the people, when you see the turnarounds and people are registering that, you want to make sure you're filling in those praise reports and letting everybody know what God is actually doing. The praise reports. The gospel is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Hebrews chapter 10. For so many centuries, they'd just been trying hard to do right by God and could never sort the sin issue out. It says this, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God because it was finished, it was done, it was figured out. The gospel is the best news. It changes everything now and it changes everything for eternity. So they spread the word, they spoke the word, they told the word, and then obviously Peter added to it with a bit of preaching here and there as well. And that's the balance that we need to get right in the church right here. Luigi Tarriso, he was in his time an Italian who was famous for buying and selling and even making violins. The most famous violin of all time is called the Messiah. It was made by Stradivari in 1716. So it was a Stradivarius, you may have heard of that term. Today it's in Oxford, in a museum, the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford. It was considered the only Stradivarius in existence that remains literally as good as new, and there's a reason for that, because while being known as the Messiah, it remained in his workshop until he died. He never wanted the thing to be worn the same as everything else and played in the same way as everything else. He thought it was his perfect or the perfect creation. It's then purchased by Luigi Tarriso, 1827. He made a fortune out of trading old violins, but this was his prized possession, the beautiful Messiah violin. The strange thing is he never played it either. He hid it away. When he died, his collection was bought by another wealthy collector, a third one, who did exactly the same. In other words, the best of the best was hidden away. Generation after generation, never played, never to be enjoyed by anybody in any concert hall because they thought it was so good, we need to hide it away. It's incredible that a stunning sound of the most perfectly constructed violin was just hidden away in a cupboard. How ridiculous does that sound? How ridiculous is it that the best news can not only remain hidden away, but it can be hidden away in a church. It can be hidden away in church services. It can be hidden away in a book called the Bible and closed. But we must play that thing. We must get out the most perfect, the Messiah, and play and let everybody enjoy the sound of perfection. We must get the word of God out no matter how we get it out, whether we write it, whether we publish it, whether we sing it, whether we represent it, whether we preach it and proclaim it or declare it or gossip it or tell it or speak it. We have to spread the word because the word is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we can get a whole bunch of ordinary people, not just waiting for a church service, but saying to people in the workplace and in the home, man, you're going through that. Would you mind if my church prayed for you for that? Hey, no pressure. It would give us an honor. We're seeing some amazing things happen in our church. You'd be surprised how many people say, sure, no worries, no problem at all. To be able to say to somebody, hey, do you ever fancy coming, even if it's just once, to my church? I'll tell you why. because the place is absolutely buzzing and humming. The music is fantastic. The people are awesome. Our pastors are great. I just would love you to see what is actually happening in Norwich so that your view of church isn't what you might think it is. Just come and have a sniff once. Just come along once. It'd mean the world to me if you came along with me. You ask 20 people. Even if one of them says yes, one person gets to see and experience what God is building in Norwich, the city where they live, because you were brave enough to get out the violin and to say something on behalf of the gospel. It brings hope. It brings faith. It saves souls. It is good news. It is good news. So what will Soul Church be like by the end of this year? It's going to be a year of writing more history. Of building the church, being built with ordinary people, everyone being the body of Christ, playing their role, everyone inviting, everybody talking to people, and the praise reports are going to be absolutely amazing. Let me give you the third one, the last one. I believe this church will be, what will be evident is a clear evidence of the grace of God upon you. Right here in the scriptures it says this, going to verse 23 of chapter 11. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He's talking about Barnabas. You see, what was happening in Jerusalem in that first city was that they'd been preaching to all these Jewish believers who had become believers in Jesus Christ. And the church had grown massively. And now the persecution happens. And they're scattered to Phoenicia and Lebanon and Syria and all of these sorts of places, gossiping, talking, proclaiming, discussing the word of God and what they'd seen. And then in Jerusalem, they said, hold on a minute. Those people aren't even Jews. What is going on? They were getting this news of, like in Antioch, of people believing in Jesus and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can imagine them in Jerusalem saying, hold on a minute, Barney, come on, son. You need to get over to Antioch and check this out. Sounds a bit dodgy to me. I mean, these have got no Jewish background whatsoever, and they think they can believe in Jesus like we do, and they think they can be filled with the Holy Spirit like, you better get down there and have a look. And so Barnabas goes to Antioch, and that's exactly what it says. When he arrived, what did he see? What the grace of God had done. He got there and he couldn't believe his eyes. He couldn't believe his ears. He's thinking, hold on, these people have got such a different background than we have. But their love for Jesus, you can't argue, it is so beautiful. It's sweet, it's innocent, it's pure. How can I tell them that they're getting this wrong? And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember the day of Pentecost. I remember what happened when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember the changes that it effectuated in our lives. We were almost empowered to be better witnesses. We could tell and invite and discuss what we'd seen with seemingly more power than we've ever had before once we were filled. And now I come here and it's the same thing is happening. They're telling people about Jesus and those people are believing in Jesus and their lives are being turned upside down. All I can see, I don't know how to explain it, it's just like the grace of God all over it. Who's going to argue with the grace of God? You see, when you see grace in action, it's one of the most beautiful things. In this case, it's the grace of God. You see, when you experience the grace of God, you repeat the same thing. You become the same thing. You become gracious. There's nobody more gracious than Jesus Christ. I became a believer in my teens. And prior to that, the only time I ever used the name Jesus was as a blasphemy. And I've thought back and looked back so many times over the years, I'm thinking, what did I sound like to God? Who done all that he's done for me, and then he hears this Manchester lad thinking he's clever, using the Lord's name in vain with every sentence, and yet he couldn't stop loving me. To the moment when somebody invited me, got off their backside and actually invited me, said, would you just come to church once? He asked me 6 weeks on the trot. I wriggled out of it for 6 weeks. But then the TV series I was watching every Sunday night finished and he knew. And he came. Just come once. All right, put my coat on. I'm just going to go once. A blaspheming, irreligious Manchester lad. Just once. Get it over with. I can get this guy off my back. It only took Jesus once. I was saved within about an hour. I was saved halfway through the message. I can't wait for the end. And I've never backslidden, never walked away ever since. It's the grace of God. The grace of God is upon His people. Grace of God is upon His church. People ask Pastor Brian and Bobby many times, why does Hillsong seemingly keep on growing? And he says, without being evasive, he says, I don't know how to explain it in detail, but it's got to be, when you work it down and boil it down, it's got to be the grace of God. Because we're not that great. We're not that smart. You know, we didn't have a strategy to start in Sydney and take over the world. We didn't decide 35 years ago, let's plant churches in Europe. Let's plant churches in Africa. Let's plant churches in Asia. Let's plant churches all around. We didn't have that. We just did what we did, but with a big vision for a big God to do something remarkable. It's the grace of God. In Brisbane, Steve and Rachel have been witnesses to this. We're not that great, but we've just been on a journey of 10 years where we've gone from one location to 10 in 10 years. There's now about 10,000 people on a weekend gathering together in our locations around there. And we're not that good. It's not down to how good you can present church or how clever you can do work. You've got to see that when it's time for the grace of God to explode upon a people, then you go on that wave and you just keep on going and you keep yourself healthy and you keep yourself worshiping and honoring God and pointing the finger to Him because it's Him that's doing all of this stuff. We do our part. We do our bits down here, but we can't save a single soul. We can't heal a single body, but we can point this whole city to a God who can. We can present and prepare a church of people that looks after those that comes in and takes care of them and believes in them and champions them. But we got to trust in the grace of God. You know what? Soul Church will become known as a place of good news. But Soul Church will also be known as the place where grace is in evidence. You got to get good at forgiving people. You got to get good at accepting anybody. We planted a church in Spain once and we had in the same church not only business people and professionals and girls off the street in the same church, but I even had a connect group leader who'd only been saved about a year and a half, who now in his group had two professionals, a married couple, who he'd stolen from in their house before he got saved, and they joined his connect group. I'm talking about a church where acceptance worked, where grace and forgiveness flowed. We've got to get good at accepting people. We've got to get good at forgiving people. Why? Because God is the expert and we want to be a bit more like Him. Jesus is good at this and we're His people and we're His church. This needs to be a church of shelter, a church where solo parents come in and realize there's a whole village to help them, realize there's people who champion them on and believe in them and can help them with their kids and give a bit of advice and a bit of help and celebrate Christmas with them and buy a gift for their kids and all of these sorts of things. This is a church that will be known not only for the good news that comes from it, but a church that will be known for its grace. If you're going to excel at anything this year, excel at being ordinary people who have got a vision of what God can do in Norwich. If you be guilty of being the ones that are always sharing good news to people, letting Norwich know day by day by day across the thousands of us that can do this, that Jesus is good, that His church is pretty cool, and you need to get and have a sniff and have a look, and you need to be known as the church of grace, a church of acceptance and forgiveness and shelter and love. And you imagine what this is going to look like 12 months from now. Jesus, I pray right now for Soul Church, right here in Norwich, in this city, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would inspire the hundreds of people that come through these doors today to not go out living the same as last year, but go out with a new spring in their step, a new desire in their heart to invite people, to pray for people, to forgive people, to accept people, to talk to people, to answer questions, to offer help, to offer praise, to share good news, to share good stories, to share what You are doing in this city across the many thousands that live here. I pray, God, that this would be known as a good news church, and I pray this would be known as a church where grace flows in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's stand together. Let's worship Jesus 1 minute, and then I'm coming back. Okay, church, close your eyes. But if this morning you want to be part of a community of ordinary people who build Soul Church Norwich. And again, online, you think about where you are. But right here, if you are going to be part of building this church this year and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm going to be putty in your hands. I'm going to be your mouthpiece. I'll walk to where I need to walk to. I'll touch what I need to touch. I'll say the words that I need to say. I'll invite who I need to invite, but I am in. If that's you, raise your hands right now with every eyes closed. If you're believing for this church to be a church of good news, great news, the best news, where prayers are answered every single week, where the praise reports get more and more thrilling and exciting and supernatural, raise your hands. If you say to God, God, I want to be like you. I want to be the evidence of grace. I want to be more accepting and more forgiving. I want to love people more. I want to help change people's lives with you doing the bits that I can't do, but I'll do the bits that I can do. If you are saying I want to be part of the grace of God and grace to everyone else, raise your hands right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray across this whole congregation right now. I pray, God, that you would help each one to take a serious step forward this year in the name of Jesus. That you would cause us to be saved from being spectators, but that we all become participators. And together we build your church in this magnificent city of Norwich. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, with you can put your hands down, but keep your eyes closed. I just want to pray one more prayer. That if your relationship with God is either non-existent or very distant, or your relationship with him was far better in the past than it is today. If you ended last year feeling so distant from God, well, this is the prayer to get yourself back on track. And wherever you are watching this right now, specifically in this room, why don't we pray this prayer together? A prayer putting our life back into the hands of Jesus Christ. I can't see you online, but I can see you in the room. I'm going to count to three, and when I count to three, as your step of faith, I'm going to ask you to raise a hand to say, Steve, pray for me. And Lord, this is me indicating to you that I am in for this relationship with you. I want it to be better than it has ever been before. And I'm praying this prayer to you to change things in Jesus' name. I'm going to count to three if I can pray for you. One, two, three. Just raise your hand across this auditorium. That's awesome. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. You can put your hand down. God bless you. More people. Just one more time. If anybody else, just add yourself to these numbers. I can see you at the back, sweetheart. You can put your hand down. That's wonderful. Plenty of people this morning. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you this morning because I need you in my life. Please forgive me from all my past, all the things I've done wrong, knowingly or unknowingly. But today, I invite you to be the Lord of my life. And I declare that from this prayer forward, I am yours and you are mine. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, let's celebrate with all of those people. Rachel's going to come. God bless you. See you tonight. Got a great message to share.
Absolutely brilliant. What an incredible message at the start of our year to remind us to be the bringers, the spreaders, the tellers of good news. Can we thank Steve Dixon for such an amazing word? It's incredible, Steve. And I love what he said, that it wasn't the apostles, just the apostles that spread the word. It was the ordinary, you and I. And if you raised your hand, like many of us very ordinary people have done over the years, or you prayed that prayer in your heart and meant it, we would love to give you a gift. It's a beautiful New Testament Bible that, even if you already have one, it's our gift, art from us, senior pastors from us to you, to say, mark this occasion, pop your name in the beginning, speak to someone on your way out to remember that this day at the start of 2020, I made a decision to have God in the center of my life, and it's part of your new year. It's actually going to make an incredible difference to your, not only your year, but obviously your entire life and beyond. How good is God? Well done for making that decision. Can we applaud those again? Make sure you see someone at the end.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.